All right.
Justin, don't sit on Facebook, but everybody, please remember Chile in your prayers.
Yes.
The country's under military rule right now, and they're fighting and living in the streets, and the military's trying to take over. So, they've got five missionaries there.
I read about that. And just remember Spain tonight. Also, I'm speaking to Brother Don. Spoke with him today. I say spoke, finger spoke through texting. And him and Miss Carla should be in around Monday, I believe. And I invited Brother Don to be part of the ordination service. He wasn't sure because their buddy passes and all, they got to fly here. So, but looking forward to having them next week. And he has a surgery coming up, knee surgery. And it's going to be good to have them around for a little while. And so let's remember their travels and let's remember Spain. Okay, let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. I want to read verse number 31 and verse number 32. And that is Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31 and 32. Bible says in Luke chapter number 22, verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, excuse me, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Tonight I want to call your attention to verse number 32. There's three words that conclude verse number 32. Of course, these are words in red, and Jesus is speaking, and there's a call here to strengthen the brethren. He says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," he says, "strengthen thy brethren." I want to take that phrase, those three words, "strengthen thy brethren." And I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, things that strengthen us. Now, I'll make better sense in a moment out of that title, but things that strengthen us. Jesus says for us to be a strength for someone else. Now, the Lord, in verse number 31, told Peter that Satan wanted to weaken him. He says in verse 31 again, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." If I could display it, it'd be like this, reaching out and grabbing you. "Satan hath desired to have you. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You see, the Lord knew that the devil was desirous of Simon Peter because of his, because of the job that God had given him. And so the devil here, the Lord is saying that the devil wants to weaken you, Peter. He wants to sift you. And that's in verse number 31, his desire, Satan's desire to have Peter, that is to weaken him, to agitate him, to create doubt within him. And then in verse number 32, we see that the Lord wanted to strengthen Peter. And that's the way it is. That's the reality of the Christian life, and that's the reality of life in general, that the devil has his desires, and God has his desires. The devil tonight is not your friend. He's not my friend. Satan wants to disassemble people. He wants to attack homes. The devil wants to disassemble. He wants to attack. He wants to weaken us. In fact, in the book of John, chapter number 10, it talks about how that the enemy cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's exactly what he wants to do to us tonight. And if we open a door in our life and if we give Him access, He will do just that. Now, if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, He cannot take us to hell. Because the Bible says, greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. No man can pluck us out of the hands of the Father once we are in His hands. Salvation is forever in heaven, those that are saved. But He does want to disassemble. He wants to weaken. He wants our life now to be the most miserable life. He wants us to live in misery all the way to heaven. That's the devil's goal. He knows he can't take you to hell, but he wants to make you miserable. He wants to weaken you. And so the Lord spoke to Simon and he said, Simon, Simon, double emphasis here. No games, no jokes. Simon, Simon, behold. That word behold means look here. Look here, boy. Look here, son. The devil wants to sift you. The devil wants to weaken you. So we see in verse number 31 that the devil wants to weaken Simon. And in verse number 32, Jesus wants to strengthen him. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we see that Simon had a call on his life. But before Simon could operate out of his calling and be a help to others, he had to be helped. And so verse number 32 tells us that the Lord was wanting Simon to be strong, and then he wanted Simon to strengthen others. Verse number 31 tells us that the devil wants to weaken him. Folks, tonight, that's the Christian life. Again, I'll say, that is the Christian life. It's good versus evil. It's suiting up daily. It's putting up barriers in our Christian walk so that we won't be easily attacked. It's knowing the devil's next move. It's knowing our next move so we can fortify ourselves and protect ourselves from the wiles of the devil. So tonight we see that these things are taking place. The Lord wanted to strengthen him because he had a job for him to do. His job in part was to strengthen the brethren, other believers. Now, the Lord has a job for all of us to do. Part of that job, in part, is to strengthen one another. Do you know that? That God, if you're saved tonight, has saved you and He has called you so that you might be strengthened in your walk and in turn strengthen others. And Proverbs, I'll just give it to you. Proverbs 27 in verse number 17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Did you know that the time that God saved you, the very moment that God saved you, man or woman, you are now an iron man or an iron woman? You've heard of the Iron Man contest? Well, God saves people and He makes them iron men and iron women. And because of that, iron sharpens iron. And so we are to sharpen one another. We are to be a blessing and a help to one another. But the whole time we need to remember we have to be sharp first. We have to be strengthened first. I was reading Exodus 17 today. I'll just give you the narrative. In verse number 12, we have Moses. And Moses could not raise that rod. His arms were getting so weak. He needed some help. He needed to be strengthened. And what happened? His brother and a man named Hur came along. The man Hur and his brother Aaron came along. And we know, number one, I've always heard that it was his hands that they held up. But guess what? Moses couldn't even stand anymore. They put a rock under him so he could sit. Moses was tired of standing and holding that rod. But it was while that rod was up that Israel had victory. And then when the rod went down, the enemy had victory. And so came along Aaron on one arm and came along Hur on the other and lifted up the arms of Moses. And while his arms were lifted, the people of God had victory. You see, here we have a picture of one strengthening another. And that's what we're to do in life. We are iron and we need to sharpen one another as other pieces of iron in God's cabinet. And so the Lord wanted to strengthen him. He said, in, again in verse number 32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." That was his job. That was his calling, to be a strength for someone, to strengthen someone else. But he had to be strengthened. And again, in verse number 31, we see that the devil wanted to weaken him, and so God was drawing attention to that. And again, tonight, some things that strengthen us. Before Peter could be, or before Peter could strengthen others, he himself had to be strengthened. And before we can strengthen others, we ourselves must be strengthened as well. I'll give you a little illustration, and then we'll get into the lesson. You ever try to use a broken tool to fix something? Or maybe a tool that was on its last leg? Tried to use a screwdriver, a power screwdriver the other day, and the bit was all messed up, and it was going like that, and I was trying to use it, and battery wasn't charged, and you know, I had the screw, and the tip of it blew off, and I went through the drywall almost, and I just trying to use a wobbly, power-charged screwdriver. But you know, it's kind of like us. When we are halfway working and not strengthened, we can't be used to the capacity God wants us to. He wants to fix us. He wants to repair us. And He wants us to walk in our purpose. And so tonight, let's look at this subject, things that strengthen us. And ultimately, we're to be strengthened so we can strengthen others. Just want to mention some things. Number one, the Scriptures strengthen us. The Scriptures strengthen us. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 1 for a moment. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Keep in mind, this is the same Peter whom the devil wanted to sift, and we'll go back to Luke 22 in a moment. But the first thing that strengthens us are the Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 21, the Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now the word "moved" here, it says, spake in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word "moved" means to carry or be driven. And so literally, the Spirit of God drove them with desire of knowledge and what to speak and what to write in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of those men in the Old Testament and the New Testament in its entirety, all the Scriptures, the Spirit of God moved upon them, gave them strong desire, and they were moved by desire to pin down the prophecies of God. And so now we have First and Second Peter, which means that Peter was driven by the Spirit of God to pin down these two epistles. What did he tell Peter? "Peter, strengthen thy brethren." Well, we have 1 and 2 Peter, and we read that, and we're strengthened by that. I said that to say this, that Peter was used of God. He did strengthen the brethren. And we're reading out of 2 Peter tonight. We're reading 1 Peter, 2 Peter, real, just a moment. And this is the end result of one being used. Peter eventually was strengthened. It says, "When thou art converted," back in Luke 22, "strengthen thy brethren." When thou art converted doesn't mean when thou art saved. It just simply means that when thou art changed, when thou art reverted, when thou art strengthened, he said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Well, there came a point in time where Peter, he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he was able to jot down 1 and 2 Peter. And so he fulfilled that. He was used by God. He was able to strengthen the brethren. 1 and 2 Peter. That's what we have tonight. We, the brethren, the sister, are able to be strengthened by these Scriptures that he pinned down. Now, the command Christ gave Peter was fulfilled by writing these two epistles. Again, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. These were jotted down for us, for our learning, for our strength. Now, the scriptures, that's exactly what the scriptures do tonight. In order for us to strengthen others, we have to be strengthened. Well, that's what the scriptures do. And we're strengthened by 1 Peter, 2 Peter. But also the scriptures strengthen us. The scriptures are spiritual food. Y'all know that. We're feasting from God's word. The scriptures are spiritual light. They're comfort. They're assurance. They're knowledge. The scriptures are hope. The scriptures are help. And so God used Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. He is strengthening the brethren. We are being strengthened tonight. And that's something that the scriptures do. They strengthen us. They offer us hope and comfort and light. If you didn't believe that the scriptures help, you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. That's just the truth about it. One thing that strengthens us so that we can strengthen others are the scriptures. Now, I want to go back to Luke 22 for a moment. Luke 22. There's a second thing that strengthens us. The sifting by Satan strengthens us. Now, just stay with me, because you'll see that God is overseer of all things, as you know, but indeed he allows the good, the bad, and the ugly to strengthen us. In fact, Romans 8:28 says so. But we know that God uses all things for our good. Sometimes it's good times, it's bad times, it's our best, it's our worst, it's trials, it's testings. The world, the flesh, and Satan are ways that we learn by default. Look what he says in verse number 31, Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Again, the sifting process. This is something that Satan does, but God allows him to, because it strengthens us. Now, I do want to say that Satan is under the supervision of God when he does this sifting to Simon. Satan is under the supervision of God of anything that may take place in our life. We're under God's care. Now, the sifting process is this. Wheat is sifted in a sifter, a sieve, or a big like fan, or a big a pan with small holes in it. Okay, the wheat is put in the sifter. And then the sifter is then agitated. It's shaken. It's disturbed. And then the chaff is taken away. And the grain is left. Many times in Bible days, they would use big forks and they would put them in the ground and throw up the wheat in the air, and the wind on the side of a mountain. Sometimes this would be done. Other places, flat threshing floors, and throw the chaff up, or the wheat up, and then the wind would, it would just totally just knock apart and separate the chaff, the deadness from the wheat, from the grain. And then all the grain would fall to the floor. So it is in the sifter. The wheat is placed in the sifter, and then it's agitated and it's shaken. And then the chaff is removed, and true grain is left in that sifter. So wheat is sifted and chaff is taken away, and the grain is left. Listen to this. The part that cannot be used is separated from the parts that's usable. And the Lord tells Peter here, he says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may agitate your life. But the Lord has a purpose in that. He allows the agitation and he allows the sifting. And we're going to be in verse number 32 in just a moment. But as God intercedes for us, as intercessor, and as the devil is sifting us and agitating us, the whole goal is to separate all the talk that we do sometimes. Well, you know, I'll follow God to the end, just like Peter said. I'll follow God to the I'll do anything God wants me to do. Well, there's times where God has us in a sifter, and it's shaking us. It's irritating things. But the whole goal is separation. He wants our faith to be refined. And he is sifting and getting rid of the talk life. He's getting rid of the, well, one day I will. He's getting rid of the, well, I should. And because of being in the sifter and the devil and the world and the flesh and all of these aggravations and attacks, we have no choice but to call on God. We have no choice to run to him. Some people call it rock bottom. Really, it's the prayers of the Lord. It's his sovereign rule and reign over us. It's us being attacked by the devil, but yet there's true faith on the inside, and it's God refining that faith, and through time and by grace and mercy, being able to stand and say, I'm a better Christian because of what's taking place in my life. The sifter. Wheat is sifted and the chaff is taken away. The part that cannot be used is separated. I'll tell you what's going on in your life tonight and what's going on in my life tonight. Whether it's something that I've done, whether it's an attack from the devil, whether it's the influence from the world, if the Lord is your God and he's your Savior, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's shaking things up. Sometimes he allows us to really live up what we think we want. I'll really live up that life. This is the father and son talking. Every time I turn around, son, you're wanting to go do this. You're wanting to go do, well, go do it. Go do what you want to do, and I'll stand here and wait on your return. And what happens? Every time, one time or the other, we're returning back to the father's house. And so that's what takes place. There is a divine separation, and God is, he is removing us from things, but sometimes it takes the fire. I think about the three Hebrews that were in the burning fiery furnace, and they went in there bound. But by the time they spent a little time in that fire, they fell down in that fire, and by the time they were out of that fire, they were unbound. You see, God allows the sifting of Satan, and God allows a broken and contrite spirit. God allows us to be crushed to powder, so to speak. God allows us to taste the very bitter waters of this world so that we might return unto him. And that's exactly what takes place. Those three Hebrews, they were in the fire bound, but they came out unbound. That's exactly what the Lord will do. And he's telling Simon here that Satan wants to have you. He wants to sift you. He wants to irritate your life. So we see the sifting by Satan strengthens us. Eventually, it strengthens us by the Lord's prayers and staying the course. Now, I am going to read you a verse back in 1 Peter because it's Peter writing it. And his own. In fact, he's gleaning from his own experience, I'm sure. But in 1 Peter chapter number 1, look what he says in verse 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In verse 7 says, that the trial of your faith, that is, we are in the sifter, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. It's being shaken in the sifter. But God is after real grain. He wants to get rid of the chaff. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's Peter writing that. He said, I remember what it was like being in the sifter. He said, but it bettered me eventually. I got to the place where I responded to God. Now, 1 Peter 5:8. Look what he says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse number 9, this is the fire, this is being in the sifter. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse number 10 is the other side of the fire. This is when the sifting's over. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is Peter talking. He said, listen. He said, the devil is out there and he's trying to stir up stuff. He says, but you have to resist him steadfast in the faith. You may have doubt. Well, guess what? Refute it with belief. Then you may doubt again, doubt God and doubt what he's doing in your life. Refute it or rebuke it with belief. I know God is doing something in my life. Here's doubt again. Well, is God? Refute it, rebuke it with belief. I know God is doing this in my life. I know he's at the helm of my life. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, keep on believing. Keep on believing. Resist steadfast in the faith. And sometimes we think we're all alone. Look what he says. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all go through this. This is all God's way of strengthening us. And that is being through the sifter and going through those times. This is the sifting process. This is Peter writing about it. And back in our verse in Luke 22, verse number 31, he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So the sifting by Satan strengthens us. It gets rid of the chaff. It gets rid of the flesh. Brings us into a deeper relationship with the Lord as we lean upon him during those times, although it's strenuous and discomforting. Now, not only that, but the Savior's prayers strengthen us. The sifting by Satan strengthens us. The Scriptures strengthen us. But then the Savior's prayers strengthen us. Look at verse 32. He says, but I have prayed for thee. You remember Sunday morning we preached on but God. And listen, there's so many times that God butts in, you know, and changes things. This is another occasion. You know, verse 31 about the devil wanting to sift him. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We see that Jesus is interceding for us. Have you ever looked back across the years of your life and you may have said, I just can't believe that I made it through some of those things. Some of them were God ordained and arranged. I didn't do anything to create that. I was just in a mess. And sometimes there were our doings. But at the end of the day, you know you belong to God. And you look back and you think, my goodness, how did I make it? I'll tell you how we made it. We have a great high priest who is interceding for us. Sometimes we choose to do life our way. We have a great and high priest who is praying that we return to him. He says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And so he's telling Peter that the devil wants to agitate and weaken you. He's saying, but Peter, I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering for you. I am praying for you. And that's what he's doing for all of us tonight. As we make our way through this wilderness of life and we're trying to fulfill our callings and trying to be a blessing to others and we find ourselves in the struggles of life, just know that the Lord Jesus is praying for us. Like with Romans 8, verse number, I'll just give it to you. Romans 8, 26. Listen to this about intercession prayer from the Trinity, from the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen, the moment you said, I do to Jesus, is the moment your life ceased to belong to you anymore. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he is constantly helping us, and sometimes we don't pray like we should, and so he takes what we say and gives it to the Father in appropriate words, and so intercession is made. The Bible says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Talking about the Savior's praying for us, and this This strengthens us. You ever woke up one day and when you went to bed the night before, the problem was there? You knew when you woke up in the morning the problem would be there. You did not know how you were going to approach the day because of the problem. But day came and you started stepping. You were walking your way through the day. As I said Sunday morning, mercy and grace shall follow me all the days of my life. That's exactly how it works. It is the intercessor prayer of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through us. And He strengthens us. During those deep, dark times, the valley of the shadow of death, listen, God is picking our feet up. You don't think you can make it, but you're here. You didn't think you could make it a year ago, but you're here. What is that? That is mercy, the mercy of God. That is the grace of God. That is the Holy Spirit interceding on your behalf and my behalf. Sometimes I say, Lord, remove me from this trial. Lord, remove me from this situation. And so the Holy Spirit, in my estimation, is like, He don't mean that, God. He's just hurting right now. He's just weak in the flesh. He really don't want things to change. And, you know, and so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just strengthen Him to continue on. And that's how it works. You know, we don't always pray like we should. I don't always pray like I should. And so God the Father corrects those prayers and gives us strength from day to day. Mercy and grace, step by step, follows us all the days of our life. The Savior and His prayers for us, they strengthen us. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter discovers that ego and self-pride cannot enable him to live for Jesus through this experience. So he tells him, the devil wants to weaken you. Jesus says, I'm praying for you. Look at verse 33. And he said unto me, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. No, you're not, Peter. Verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter was operating out of ego and self-pride and ability. Lord, I'm ready to go with you. I'll go with you all the way. I'll be your right-hand man. Jesus said, you're going to backslide on me, Peter. Verse 34, you're going to deny me. You see, that's the intersection that we come to. Those of us that are saved, we know we're saved. Now there's the living for Jesus part. And we set to live for Jesus, but it's supposed to go in the early stages of your Christianity and mine. We set out to serve Him, and we find out we fail Him a lot. And listen, it still happens. The more you grow with the Lord, you discover you fail Him a lot. But you lean on the arm of the flesh. You try within your own abilities to serve Him. Well, I'll just go to church one day a week. And then you find that that's not enough for you. And then eventually you get to that place of realizing that I have to totally surrender. I need more and more of Jesus. And see, Peter was at that place. He thought that I could just nip this in the bud and I can just follow Him and I will not offend Him and turn my back on Him. But in all actuality, Peter was filled with ego and self-pride, and he knew that he could not live for Jesus in the power of the flesh. But yet Peter thought he could, and if you keep following this story out, we know that Peter indeed denied the Lord three times. He went out and wept bitterly, and it was a change that took place in Peter's life that changed him forever, because eventually Peter was fishing. And the Lord, he had an encounter with the Lord, and they were out all night. They didn't catch anything, him and some of the other disciples. And so there was a man on the shore that said, cast thy net on the right side, and Peter did. And he couldn't pull the net to the boat and couldn't enclose it for the great multitude of fish. And so, make a long story short, they knew it was the Lord's voice, and Peter went to shore, and Jesus said, come and dine. And Jesus had a conversation with Peter. Again, Peter went out and wept bitterly. But then came morning. Then came the heart to heart. Peter, do you love me? Do y'all remember that old gospel bluegrass song? Peter, do you love me? You remember that? Peter, do you love me? Oh, man, that's a good song. Talking about that morning when Peter was on that shore with Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And it was the third time when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, that it really hit Peter in his heart, because he felt like the Lord should have known that he loved him. But in all actuality, Jesus was changing Peter's heart. He was giving him the mirror of the Word. You know, we can deceive people and we can say things with lip service, but God knows our heart. And Peter was changed. He had to go through the sifter, but it was through the sifter, and it was the prayers of the Father on his behalf that he was finally converted, meaning he was strengthened. He already knew the Lord. He just needed to be strengthened. He was strengthened, and he strengthened the brethren. He wrote 1 Peter, wrote 2 Peter. And so the scriptures, even the ones that he wrote, they strengthen us. The sifting by Satan strengthens us. The Savior's prayers strengthen us. So let me give you one more and we'll be through. Also having to do with Peter, the Spirit-filled life strengthens us. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and preached Jesus. Listen to this. He preached Jesus with boldness to the same crowd that he behaved cowardly to earlier in his walk. At one time in his life, he said, I don't know him, warming his hands. I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. Now he's standing up and he's preaching to that crowd boldly, Jesus and him crucified. Acts 2:4 says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was this feeling of the Holy Spirit that strengthened Peter to do that. We all are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Being Spirit filled strengthens us. When we yield our will for God's will, moment by moment, day by day, he fills us with his power, his love, and his ability. We're strengthened. We're strengthened. Your strength can be your next surrender to the Lord. Moment by moment, day by day, we're strengthened. Being Spirit-filled affects our speech and our walk. And being Spirit-filled definitely strengthens us. And the question tonight is simply this. What has God allowed in your life to bring you to himself, to empower you for service? What is it tonight? What is it tonight that you are dealing with that God has allowed to be present in your life? I want to say that God is using that thing in your life to bring you to himself. And he's doing that because he wants to empower you to use you. That's exactly what he's doing. And so whatever it is that God has allowed, let's give that situation to him and ask him to use us and to strengthen us. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for all things. I hope the message got across tonight that the same way that the devil wants to weaken us and to rob us of our joy, Father, the same thing the same way you pray or prayed for Peter, Lord, you're praying for us. You're interceding for us that our faith may fail not and that our faith may be strengthened. Lord, we draw strength from the Scriptures and we draw strength from your prayers and we draw strength from being Spirit-filled. And Lord, help us tonight to know that we're to be strong in you. And that in turn, you will use that, Lord, to strengthen others. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got anything they want to mention before we can...